TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Shut down the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. Given what we know today about earthquakes and tsunamis, the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant on the coast of the Pacific Ocean, roughly halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles, would not be built and licensed. Why, after Fukushima, Diablo Canyon continues to operate, and why it should be shut down, is being discussed in this program in a conversation between Harvey Wasserman, Rochelle Becker, and David Lockbaum. In last week's program, they covered seismic problems. On that evidence alone, they say, the plant needs to shut down. However, there's more. In this part, you will hear David Lockbaum make the case that Diablo Canyon has never complied with fire safety standards. And you will find out about a fundamental problem with Diablo Canyon's so-called once-through cooling system. While the owner, PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, is campaigning to make only minimal seismic cooling and fire safety upgrades, the utility corporation is under federal and state legal scrutiny for its September 9, 2010 gas pipeline explosion in San Bruno, south of San Francisco. According to the San Bruno fire chief, it took PG&E 60 to 90 minutes to shut off the natural gas that kept fueling the inferno. The explosions and the resulting firestorm killed 8 people, leveled 35 houses, and damaged a whole neighborhood. As of today, in the first week of October 2014, the whole complex story of the Diablo Canyon shutdown keeps making breaking news. You heard last week that the former NRC inspector of Diablo Canyon, Dr. Michael Peck, is challenging the decision by Mark Sartorius, the NRC's executive director for operations. Media reported on September 10, 2014, that Sartorius announced that there are no immediate seismic issues at Diablo Canyon. Another piece of breaking news occurred on October 3, 2014, when the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility first posted the redesign option by the Bechtel Corporation for Diablo Canyon's EPA-mandated replacement of their once-through fish-killing cooling operation. It's worth a look at their website, a4nr.org, that's A, numerical 4nr.org, to marvel at the Photoshop of a giant excavation of the hillside to make room for 3 huge cooling towers. Harvey Wasserman is an anti-nuclear campaigner and promoter of renewable energy with a 40-plus year track record. He edits the website nukefree.org and has a weekly radio program, the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show, on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm using large parts of his radio program on PRN for this show in a mutual program exchange. Wasserman spoke with Rochelle Becker, co-founder of the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, and David Lockbaum. He's an engineer who worked for 17 years in nuclear power plants and now heads the nuclear safety project of the Union of Concerned Scientists. Here's Harvey Wasserman.
Rochelle, now you have said you don't think it's likely that Diablo Canyon can be relicensed. When do the current licenses expire? For the two reactors at Diablo Canyon.
Expire in 2024 for Unit 1 and 2025 for Unit 2. PG&E is facing some huge economic investments if they want to keep these plants going. Whether or not they will build alternatives to the devastation that's happened by once-through cooling could be anywhere from $6 to $14 billion and take about 10 years to really put the project in place. They have seismic retrofits that are likely on the horizon if they continue to operate. They will need to expedite the fuel out of the pools into the dry cask storage, which is a higher cost. PG&E is facing some huge fines. This is the only utility that runs a nuclear plant in the United States that is under 28 felony indictments for its gas division. Same management.
Wait. 28 felony indictments for what?
Federal felony indictments for blowing up the town of San Bruno, blowing up 40 homes, killing 8 people, blowing up another home in Carmel. They have 28 federal indictments against them right now. So they're facing some pretty hefty fines, and I believe the court has now ruled that shareholders can sue the management over these. So they're facing those fines as well.
All right, so you're saying shareholders can sue. What about ratepayers? Can ratepayers sue Pacific Gas and Electric?
I believe the ratepayers that were involved in the San Bruno explosions have mostly settled their cases by now, although the city of San Bruno and the county still have outstanding claims against PG&E.
All right, so Rochelle, I need you to explain to our listeners what happened in San Bruno. Where is San Bruno?
San Bruno is between San Jose and San Francisco in Northern California. And PG&E had inadequately maintained their gas lines, even though ratepayers have been paying for them to maintain them. And they had an explosion, and it killed 8 people. 2 of those people worked at the Public Utilities Commission.
Oh, my God. And what has happened in the aftermath of this explosion?
The PUC has taken action, and today they announced a proposed decision of I think it was a $1.4 billion fine and all kinds of new safety rules that they put into place for Edison and PG&E, with the gas company and PG&E's gas company in the state of California. So the PUC had some culpability for not making sure they'd maintain those gas lines as well, and handed out 15 federal indictments in the spring and just changed that in August to 28 felony indictments.
Now, is this against the company or individuals in the company?
This is against the company, but the courts have also ruled that individuals can be sued in the management, at least by shareholders so far.
All right, so David Lochbaum, you were an insider to Nuclear Regulatory Commission. We have now I think PG&E at one point, I don't know if it still is, was the world's biggest private electric utility company. It's an enormous operation. The company that operates these two gargantuan reactors at San Luis Obispo failed to maintain gas lines in the city of San Bruno. And I've seen some of the documents that indicate that they were warned repeatedly about this possibility. Were these explosions caused by an earthquake?
No.
No earthquake. So even without an earthquake, they blew up a town, essentially, 30 homes, killed 8 people, and finally fined almost $1.5 billion.
Well,
these are the same
people. This is the same federal fines as well.
Excuse me?
There could be federal fines as well. That's just the state fines.
Oh, so we haven't gotten to the feds yet?
Nope.
Okay, so this is the very same company now operating 2 reactors on the coast of California, surrounded by 6 earthquake faults in a tsunami zone. David Lochbaum, as a nuclear regulator or a former one, feel about this company operating these 2 reactors?
Well, I mean, even if they were the best actor in the world, those plants are unsafe. They don't meet earthquake protections. They don't meet fire protection regulations. They're not ready for prime time. So the fact that they're also operated by a company that has some, a checkered past, just is like lead paint on a grenade. It's still a problem, but it's the shrapnel that will get you.
Lead paint on a grenade. That's a great one. I like that. Okay, so what is our, realistically, David Lochbaum, what is our risk at Diablo Canyon? Give us a thumbnail, if you would, about what could happen there and PG&E's ability to safely maintain this place.
Well, Dr. Sewell's report looked at what are the chances of a tsunami wave getting high enough to put the plant in distress. And he calculated, depending on the various scenarios, numbers in the range of 1 in 2,000, 1 in 3,000 years, for various scenarios, some even far more remote than that. That seems like it's very rare. 1 in 3,000 years seems like pretty good odds. but the chances that a tsunami wave would overtop the wall at Fukushima had been calculated to be 1 in 3,500 years. So it's
wow.
more likely that Diablo Canyon will face distress than Fukushima was. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. But the way we look at it is if that does happen, the federal government should be able to look at the survivors in the eyes and said, look, we did everything we could to protect your family members, but it happened anyway. Right now they can't say that because they know that plant's not safe. The report we did last year, Seismic Shift for Rochelle's group, went back through four decades of precedents. In every other case, the NRC didn't allow the plant to continue operating with suspect earthquake protection. Diablo Canyon is the sole exception to that, and we don't understand why the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is gambling with the lives of Californians.
And not just Californians. I mean, obviously, the radioactive cloud would go far beyond California in a worst-case scenario at Diablo Canyon. Now, Rochelle, do you have any explanation why the NRC continues to allow Diablo Canyon to operate?
Oh, my God, no. I really honestly don't. I can't understand why people who have a scientific background, a technical background, can look at the same information that we have seen or the information that has been hidden from the public and make decisions with a straight face. They don't pass the straight face test. I don't know how they look at us and do that. I think that because they're on the other side of the country and haven't sat through earthquakes, maybe they're just a little more blasé about it. But it's unconscionable what the NRC is doing, and not allowing the state of California to see a tsunami report that it could affect our coast is absolutely unconscionable.
To be partially fair to the NRC, in 1997, nine of the nation's 104 nuclear power plants didn't operate at all because the Nuclear Regulatory Commission was holding them down until they fixed safety problems. The nuclear industry didn't like that, and they got the United States Congress to threaten to cut the NRC's budget unless the agency knocked it off. So the NRC stopped fining people, changed how it oversaw safety. And I think the NRC is more concerned about their jobs than they are about the lives of Rochelle and other people in California. And they need to be equally concerned about both and not only about their own jobs.
Well, all right. Now, let's talk about state issues here, Rochelle. You mentioned something about once through cooling. Could the state of California, could the governor actually do anything to shut these reactors in the short term?
Yes, the state of California could. I sit on the oversight committee for the nuclear plants for once through cooling, and we've been meeting for about 2 years now, and we have a report that should be officially released sometime this fall. We hired Bechtel as consultants, so it's an inside industry report. I think that the utility hopes that this huge cost that it would take to provide the alternatives to once the devastation that went through cooling are just too expensive, and the state of California says, you know, we can't make the utility do that. They go out of business if they did that. I'm sure that's the utility's position. There are environmental groups, including Friends of the Earth, who think there are less expensive ways to put in the alternatives. There is a Diablo Canyon Independent Safety Committee who thinks, A, that Bechtel's wrong, that there will be license amendment requests, which will, again, increase the price of this project, or B, may not be safe in the way that they're being done. Those haven't been incorporated into the final report yet. The position of the Alliances for Nuclear Responsibility is allow the plant to operate till the end of its license if it can do so safely and cost-effectively, which we doubt either one, but if they can, that's fine. But at the end of its license, it must close because it cannot meet the once-through cooling standards that were released by the EPA, and we're not going to give them another 20 years to break that law.
Well, tell us about once-through cooling. What is the issue here?
1 million gallons a minute goes through this nuclear plant to keep it cool, to keep it operating and to keep it cool.
These million gallons a minute come from the Avila Bay there, which is on the coast of the Pacific.
Right. Comes out of the Pacific Ocean. There's sort of a bay there. Draws in water. While it's drawing in water, it can impinge small sea life, and about 700 to 1,000 fish or small mammals get impinged by this once-through cooling annually. But more importantly, the entrainment of the larvae from the sea life around there is huge. This is millions of little larvae that get sucked into the plant and never get to grow up as big fish. So the food chain is devastated by this process, and 78% of the once through cooling devastation in the state of California is at Diablo Canyon. San Onofre closed down in 2012, will never reoperate. So that devastation has stopped. It's down to maybe using 2% of a problem now. Other plants located on our coast that used once through cooling have all been required to either shut down or renovate their plants so they don't devastate the marine environment. If they don't force PG&E to do something different so it reduces the amount of impact from this once through cooling, this water cooling that they use, then it will be the only electric facility on the coast of California that wasn't required to do what the EPA has voted that they do. So there's some question marks around this. It's a big decision that will happen at the Water Board. It actually is a good out for PG&E, because PG&E could say, you know, the plant's seismically safe. We can operate, you know, until the end of our license seismically, but we're going to have to close it down because the investment right now for the alternatives to once through cooling just makes our plant no longer cost effective. It would be
the alternative would be cooling towers. Is that correct?
The alternative is cooling towers, which would, if put in the parking lot right now, would probably be about $4 billion, $5 billion, if it could be done safely, and there's a lot of question marks around that, or putting it further inland, which would mean they have to clear off another 670 feet of the mountain range that is right on the coastal mountain range, and then build 570-foot-tall cooling towers. I doubt that it would ever get a permit from the coastal zone. So, and Bechtel did not anticipate any legal challenges to the final plan, which in California has got to be the biggest joke around.
Mind-boggling. David Lockman, you want to comment on the cooling issues at Diablo Canyon?
Well, I think you and Rochelle both touched on something that the state could, this could be the last straw for Diablo Canyon. The state of New Jersey a few years ago negotiated with the owner of the Oyster Creek nuclear plant that was seeking a 20-year extension to its operating license. The state was concerned about water usage issues similar to Diablo Canyon and worked out a deal with the company that it would run for less than half of that, the requested 20-year extension time, and then permanently close. So the company avoided the cost of putting in the cooling towers, and the state avoided 20 more years of aquatic wildlife devastation. So a similar thing could happen in California. And elsewhere.
But that required the state of New Jersey to hold the owners of Oyster Creek accountable. Why isn't the state of California doing this?
We're not to that point yet. That decision has it. Right now, we have looked at the alternative technologies, and that review is being put in final form. Probably by the end of this year, we'll know a whole lot more.
Yeah. New Jersey followed a similar process. They did an evaluation, determined what the costs were, so they could make an informed decision. I didn't mean to imply that New Jersey was more progressive or more aggressive than California was. It just they were similar points in a timeline. It's behind Oyster Creek.
Right.
Well, I assume this was done when the governor previous to Chris Christie was in office.
That's correct.
Yeah. So okay. Well, now we have Jerry Brown, and Jerry Brown actually spoke at Diablo Canyon. I know. I was there. I believe it was in 1980 or so. Rochelle, do you remember when Jerry Brown spoke?
I think it was 81, but yeah.
1981, he spoke there. And there was Linda Ronstadt was there, and he was very forceful against Diablo Canyon. But now we haven't heard much. Could the ratepayers of Northern California in the PG&E territory withhold their payment of their bills to PG&E and go through an appeals process to force this to happen? Rochelle, have you had experience, any knowledge of that?
I doubt you can get that many ratepayers to do anything consistently, because your bill isn't reflective enough. I mean, your bill is, I mean, my bill is like $20 a month when I use a lot of power. I'm pretty frugal about power, but even if your bill is a couple hundred dollars a month, you're probably not going to take the time to try to do that. I do know that when there's been a decision that I didn't like at the Public Utilities Commission, I have asked what that decision is costing me, and I have deducted a nickel from my bill every month since the year 1984. It just makes me feel good to do that. It's not a whole lot of money, but every month I deduct a nickel from a decision that was made at the Public Utilities Commission that I completely disagreed with. And what people can do is write a letter to the PUC and say, I'm just not going to pay for this. I'm letting you know. If you want me to send it to you, that's fine. I will not send it to the utility. And, I did that in 1984. Now I just deduct a nickel every month, and it just makes me feel good, but it doesn't do anything other than that. I think that the best thing people can do is seriously support the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, because we are making huge headways at the Public Utilities Commission on behalf of ratepayers. And that's where your voice is. If it wasn't for the Alliance, there would be no voice at the Public Utilities Commission on Diablo Canyon. They filed for a license renewal several years ago in 2010, and because the Alliance was filed in that case, and we said, wait a minute, you have no idea what this will cost, and we held them off, and they eventually denied PG&E the amount of money and said, come back when you do know what this is going to cost. Japan happened. They haven't been back to the Public Utilities Commission to go for it again. That was one small group, and at that time without an attorney. So having a voice at the Public Utilities Commission is invaluable. You know, the oversight agencies are nowhere near the nuclear plants are. They're several hundred miles away. So it does take a concerted effort to make sure you're at every proceeding, whether it's Energy Commission, Coastal Commission, Public Utilities Commission, Water Board. You have a face in that room that says, I am a ratepayer, and your decisions are coming out of my pocket. They better be just and reasonable.
And David Lockbaum, the Union of Concerned Scientists, has been a face at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. So between all these commissions, what is the prognosis for getting these two reactors shut before the next earthquake does it for us or to us?
Well, we could have an earthquake while we're talking, so I can't predict earthquakes. But I can predict that the people of California are doing everything they can to make sure this plant is shut down as quickly as possible.
David?
I think one of the things that helps that prognosis is the fact that Senator Boxer is on the chair of an NRC Oversight Committee, or at least she is in this Congress. She has put a lot of pressure on the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, hasn't been fully successful across the board, but it's not for lack of her trying to lead some form. So I think her calling the NRC to task to get this Dr. Sewell's report, get some of this out there. We're hearing rumors that the next oversight hearing will be focused on earthquake protection at Diablo Canyon. They don't have a good story to tell, and if forced to come before the American public and try to explain what they're not doing out there, I think that will lead to things getting fixed quickly.
Thanks, Dave. You're absolutely right. Senator Boxer has been amazing, and we are very fortunate to have her.
Okay, so, David, when you say things getting fixed, are we talking about making the plant safer, or are we talking about shutting it down?
The choice would be the companies. The San Onofre Unit 1 reactor had some similar earthquake problems in the early 90s, and it was shut down for 11 months while workers upgraded systems so that pipes would be better protected against shaking during an earthquake and more likely survive that. After those fixes were implemented, the plant restarted. So it's up to the owner to decide, you know, do I want to pay for these fixes or do I want to not operate? But you shouldn't. Being a nuclear outlaw shouldn't be one of the options that you have.
And you've used this term nuclear outlaw. Tell us what we're running out of time. But when David Lockbaum used the term nuclear outlaw, we're in serious trouble here. So what do you mean by nuclear outlaw?
Well, there are fire protection regulations that the company and the NRC both understand that Diablo Canyon has never met for a single second over its entire lifetime. Those regulations are supposed to protect the public from a fire, but that's only if they're followed. Likewise, there are seismic earthquake protection, earthquake regulations on the books that Diablo Canyon doesn't meet. Well, safety IOUs don't protect anybody. They just make it easier for the lawyers to sue the guilty after the fact. We need to fix that.
Yes, and you mentioned to me in an email that there's fire, in addition to not meeting seismic safety standards, earthquake safety standards, Diablo Canyon does not meet basic fire protection standards. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, after the 1975 fire at Browns Ferry, where a candle started a fire that wiped out all the cables for the safety systems, the NRC adopted regulations that's supposed to make it less likely that a single fire will knock out primary safety systems and their backups. Diablo Canyon does not meet those regulations and has a plan for someday meeting it in the, sometime down the road. But until then, the plant's at great risk. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission estimates that the chance of fire causing a meltdown is about 50% of the things that can lead to a core meltdown, which means the fire hazard is equal to all other hazards combined. And that's if you meet the regulations. If you don't meet the regulations, the risk goes up and the justification for continuing to operate goes down.
So in addition to all the earthquake issues, we have serious fire protection issues. Anything else you want to throw into the hopper here?
Well, they wear nice ties.
All right. Well, David Lockbaum and Rochelle Becker, this is enough to scare the pants off of anybody. I have seen these reactors. They are very formidable. They do pose a threat to the entire United States of America. Of course, they're not the only reactors at seismic risk. I have been led to understand that the two that are operating at Indian Point are actually more at risk from earthquake damage than Diablo Canyon. Does that have any meaning?
Well, that was based on prior to Fukushima, the NRC did a study of what's the likelihood of any plant in the country experiencing an earthquake larger than it's designed to withstand. And Indian Point was at the top of that list. It's more likely to have an earthquake that it's not can't withstand than any other plant in the country. It's not the earthquake it will experience won't be as large as ones in California, but if you're not, the protection levels aren't nearly as high either. So it was at the top of that list. Which caught a lot of attention there for a while.
That was David Lockbaum from the Union of Concerned Scientists. The 40-year-old Indian Point nuclear power station, only 25 miles north of New York City, sits on the intersection of two active seismic zones. The New York Times reported on May 9, 2014, that Indian Point is one of 10 sites considered most in need for a re-evaluation of earthquake vulnerability. This is the conclusion of a two-part radio program on shutting down the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. With Harvey Wasserman, he edits the website nukefree.org and has a weekly radio program on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm using large parts of his radio program on PRN for this show. Rochelle Becker from the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility and David Lockbaum. You can find links to their websites on the newest programs page of tucradio.org. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look for the newest programs page. TUC Radio is free and depends on the support of listeners like you. Your donation keeps this program on the air. TUC Radio's mailing address is Post Office Box 44, Calpella, California, 95418. That's Calpella, California, 95418. For more information, go to TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org, for the address and donate buttons. There you can also subscribe to weekly free podcasts. This program was produced off the grid with solar power. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.